Chapter 13. I took a shower, got dressed, and left Thomas behind with the still sleeping Butters. Thomas settled down on the couch with a candle, a book, and an old U.S. cavalry saber he'd picked up in an estate sale and honed to a scalpel's edge. I left the sawed-off shotgun on the coffee table within arm's reach, and Thomas nodded his thanks to me. "Keep an eye on him?" I asked. Thomas turned a page. "Nothing will touch him." Mouse settled down on the floor between Butters and the door and huffed out a breath. I got into the SUV and got out Mort's map. I headed for the nearest magical hotspot marked in bloody ink on the map, the spot of sidewalk on Wacker. It was a bitch to find a parking place. It's never easy in Chicago, and I had a shot at a pretty good spot on the street, but while the Beetle would have managed just fine, the SS Loner would have had to smash cars on either side a few inches apart to fit. I wound up taking out a mortgage to pay for a parking space at a garage, walked a couple of city blocks, and proceeded down the street with my wizard senses alert, feeling for the dark energy that the city's dead had found. I found the spot on the sidewalk outside of a corner pharmacy. It was so small, I had walked almost completely through it before I felt it. It felt almost like walking into air conditioning. The residual magic felt cold, like the other dark power I'd touched, terribly cold, and my skin erupted in goosebumps. I stopped on the spot, closed my eyes, and focused on the remaining energy. It felt strange, somehow. Dawn had dispersed most of the energy that had been there, but even as an aftertaste of the magic that had been worked there, the cold was dizzying. I'd felt dark power similar to this before today, similar but not identical. There was something about this that was unlike the horrible aura surrounding Gravain, or that I had sensed from wielders of black magic in my past. This was undeniably the same power, but it somehow lacked the greasy, nauseating sense of corruption I'd felt before. That was all I could sense. I frowned and looked around. There was a spot on the sidewalk that might have been a half-cleaned bloodstain, or might have been spilled coffee. Around me, business day commuters came and went, some of them pausing to give me annoyed glares. Cars purred by on the street. I checked at the pharmacy, but the place had been closed the night before, and no one had been there or heard about anything out of the ordinary. I checked the neighboring places of business, but it was a part of town where not much was open after 6 or 7 in the evening, and no one had seen or heard about anything out of the ordinary. Most of the time, the investigation business is like that. You do a lot of looking and not finding. The cure for it is to do more looking. I walked back to the SUV and went to the next spot on the map, at the Field Museum. The Field Museum is on Lakeshore Drive and occupies a whole block north of Soldier's Field. I felt a brief flash of gratitude that things usually went to hell during the work week. If this had been a Sunday with the bears at home, I'd have had to park and then backpack in from Outer Mongolia. As it was, I got a spot in the smaller parking lot in the same block as the museum, which cost me only a portion of the national gross income. I walked to the entrance from the parking lot and slowed my steps for a few strides. There were 2 patrol cars and an ambulance parked outside the Field Museum's main entrance. Aha! This stop looked like it might be a bit more interesting than the last one. The doors had just opened for normal visiting hours, and it cost me yet more of my money to get a ticket. My wallet was getting even more anorexic than usual. At this rate, I wouldn't be able to afford to protect mankind from the perils of black magic. Hell's bells, that would be really embarrassing. I went in the front entrance. It's impressively big. The first thing my eyes landed on was the crown jewel of the Field Museum. Sue, the largest, most complete, and most beautifully preserved skeleton of a Tyrannosaurus Rex ever discovered. They're the actual petrified bones, too. None of this cheap plastic modeling crap for the tourists. The museum prided itself on the authenticity of the exhibit, and with reason. There's no way to stand in Sue's shadow, to see the bones of the enormous hunter, its size, its power, its enormous teeth, without feeling excruciatingly edible. Late October is not the museum's high traffic season, and I saw only a couple of other visitors in the great entrance hall. Museum security was in evidence, a couple of men in brown quasi-uniforms, and an older fellow with graying hair and a comfortable-looking suit. The man in the suit stood next to an unobtrusive doorway, talking to a couple of uniformed police officers, neither of whom I recognized. I moseyed over closer to the three of them, casually browsing over various exhibits, until I could get close enough to listen in.
"Damnedest thing," the old security chief was saying. "Never would have figured that this kind of business would happen here."
"People are people," said the older of the two cops, a black man in his 40s. "We can all get pretty crazy."
The younger cop was a little overweight and had a short haircut the color of steamed carrots. "Sir, do you know of anyone who might have had some kind of argument with Mr. Bartlesby?"
"Doctor,"
the security man said. "Dr. Bartlesby." "Right," said the younger cop, writing on a notepad. "But do you know of anyone like that?" The security man shook his head.
"Dr. Bartlesby was a crotchety old bastard. No one liked him much, but I don't know of anyone who disliked him enough to kill him."
"Did he associate with anyone here?"
"He had a pair of assistants," the security chief replied. "Grad students, I think. Young woman and a young man."
"They a couple?" the younger cop asked.
"Not that I could tell," the security chief said.
"Names?" the older cop asked.
"Alicia Nelson was the girl. The guy was Chinese or something. Lee Sean or something."
"Does the museum have records on them?" the cop asked.
"I don't think so. They came in with Dr. Bartlesby."
"How long have you known the doctor?" the older cop asked.
"About 2 months," the security chief said. "He was a visiting professor doing a detailed examination of one of the traveling exhibits. It's already been taken down and packed up. He was due to leave in a few more days."
"Which exhibit?" the young cop asked.
"One of the Native American displays," the security man supplied. "Cahokian artifacts."
"Ca-what?" the older cop asked.
"Cahokian," the security chief said.
"Amerind tribe that was all over the Mississippi River Valley 700 or 800 years ago, I guess."
"Were these artifacts valuable?" asked the older cop.
"Arguably," the security chief said. "But their value is primarily academic. Pottery shards, old tools, stone weapons, that kind of thing. They wouldn't be easy to liquidate."